great to be with you again. Particularly would like to thank you, those who were aware and been praying for me. Yesterday I was up in Oxford as part of the Baptist Assembly, running around like a headless chicken potentially, delivering the children's ministry as my final kind of transitional event with Arise. But thank you particularly for those who are praying for that. It was an amazing opportunity to work amongst about 45 children that we were working amongst 11 and unders. Really powerful day. I want us to unpack though and look at this passage from Acts 2 this morning. But to begin with, I want to actually share something that I've been, I suppose, wrestling with recently. If you've read this week's newsletter article, you'll maybe be aware of some of my frustrations, maybe is the best word to describe it, with kind of really how we maybe often approach Pentecost in the life of the church. I entitled the article this week, "Haven't We Done Pentecost Already?" Because I wonder whether sometimes that's kind of maybe how we feel. Like with a number of the celebrations in the church calendar, we kind of, well, every 12 months we come around to them again. And we need to go through the same songs that we sing at those times. And we need to read the same passages that we read at those times. And we all get excited in the ways that we get excited at those times. And then we move on. And something, as I say, over the last few weeks, kind of coming to today, has just really been going around in my head, trying to kind of grapple with what's not right about this picture. As I kind of suggest, I wonder whether a slightly different nuance is needed to that question. Instead of, haven't we done Pentecost already? Isn't it a case of, didn't God do Pentecost already? In the sense that we read in this passage the fact that this moment when God showed up in power and sent his Holy Spirit. I want us to read again those verses that Mark read as we began our meeting this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they answer one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. We have this moment that I've just read, that we read in the passage here. This moment that Luke kind of captures for us. But in many ways, we don't need to wait till a moment each year to be able to reflect and celebrate and engage, I believe, in all that is taking place here. I mean, it's interesting, the conversations I've had, for some, kind of, I almost kind of wonder, well, what is special about today? And this is believers, because it's just another Sunday, isn't it? And maybe for some it's a case of, well, Pentecost just, it's not that they don't think about it, it just doesn't occur to them. Or it's just something that, again, is just kind of feeds into the pattern of the annual kind of events within the local church. So it's just something else we do when we're told to, and then we move on. There's a song that we sing, and I'm very conscious that when preachers kind of talk about songs, we then either will never sing them again, or we'll never stop singing them. But there's a song with a line in it that I love as a song, because it's a great drumming song. And you can get some great rhythms to it. But there's a line in it that says, "We need another Pentecost." And there's part of me that I was reflecting on that, and I'm thinking, well, no, we don't. Because what's wrong with the one that we read about here? What's wrong with what happened some 2,000 years ago when on the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, as we read? It's not a case that kind of the Holy Spirit's run out. It's not the case that it's lost its power or its effectiveness. It's not that it had a sell-by date on it, and it was only going to be effective for so long. We read here how power came upon them. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that moment when you're suddenly taken by surprise by someone. It's interesting. Ewan particularly, but all our children love this idea of trying to sneak down in the morning. When I get up first often, I'm getting kind of lunches, whatever that's it. They're trying to sneak into the kitchen and make me jump. And now I've got wise to it, you're kind of half ready for it. But if you ever find yourself in those moments when suddenly someone kind of is just there in front of you, and they make you're not expecting it, and you kind of jump out of your skin because you're suddenly taken by surprise. The disciples here, they're gathered, tells us, in this room, and suddenly, it's not like there was a knock at the door and it's like, can I come in, please? And this is what's planned. Suddenly, sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire, it says, came and rested on them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And it's recognizing that on the one hand, this moment is unique. What happened in that room, in that place, happened at that moment, for that time, for those people who were there. It's a guy called William Willimon. He says, the power of God erupted into a conventional assembly of the faithful in a most unconventional way. He goes on to explore the whole idea that you could say kind of the wind and the fire that we've seen there are specific to that moment. The actual kind of way that it appeared, we might go, yeah, that was in that moment. But yet, he goes on to describe and remind us the fact that the new life that the Spirit brings, the fellowship that comes out of it, the worship, the freedom, the boldness, the power, all that kind of unfolded out of that moment is not something that is just specific to that time. And that for any of us who know Jesus, who are seeking to follow him, we need to be expectant and we need to be seeking to receive that same Spirit, that same power of God in our lives today. I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures on the news, often after kind of summer festivals that take place, where you have those kind of armies of people who are clearing up, kind of slowly kind of picking up all the mess. If it's a camping festival, it's kind of discovering how many wellies that are left over, or tents that have kind of broken and people are left and that sort of thing. And I wonder whether sometimes, is that what we think the disciples were there doing? Jesus had ascended to heaven, so really they were just there on a bit of a cleanup job, really. They were just there kind of tying up a few loose ends, just finalizing a few bits and pieces before he was going to kind of come back again, as the angels had told them, and then that would be the end of it. Whereas we see in this moment that, the volume is turned up to 11. The opportunity is suddenly blown wide open. The power of God comes and equips them to go out, as Mark writes, into all the world, to go out and to make a difference as the followers of Jesus, as his disciples. And as we see, though, and as it reminds us, yes, power came upon them, but also power comes upon us. And this is where I come back to my question, that kind of, haven't we done Pentecost already? Because sometimes I think we get in this mindset, well, kind of, it happened and we celebrated it and it was great and wonderful things happened. But is there anything else for us today? It's a TV show I used to enjoy watching called Mythbusters. And these two Americans would basically kind of try and debunk all these various myths, going on, different things, that sort of thing. And I wonder whether sometimes we look at the story of Pentecost, and there is that myth. Well, it was for then, wasn't it? It was for that time. Or maybe we kind of stretch it a little bit and we kind of go, well, it was for then and for other odd moments. Maybe we think back to, Toronto and the revival, or the Welsh revival, or other things throughout history. We go, there's these moments when suddenly it kind of appears and has a little turn and then it disappears. Because it's only for certain moments through history. Or there's this myth that it's just for some, whether that's because we live in a certain place, or because we're a certain age, or because we've got a certain position, or we've got a certain ability and an IQ and all that sort of thing. The Bible doesn't teach about there being any kind of junior Holy Spirit or different versions of it depending who we are and how we find ourselves. Also doesn't teach that it was just for them. We read verse 39 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Not just for that moment, but something that is ongoing and something that we need to recognize and enter into. Now, there's various different illustrations and ways people have used to try and explain kind of what the Holy Spirit does. I came across a number of years ago the analogy of a toolbox that a friend of mine was talking about. And I love this idea of this toolbox that God gives us with loads of different gifts inside of it. And I wonder whether many of us and many believers actually, they get given this gift, but they just sit there and look at it and go, "This is a great toolbox, isn't it? It's really nice and shiny. I'm sure there's great stuff in it." But we only ever leave it there rather than actually opening it up and exploring the many gifts that God has promised us. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11 unpacks the different gifts, details words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, you know, knowing whether something is of God or not, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And this is what God gives to all who believe. Again, it's not a case that only for those who maybe you've been a Christian for a certain time, you know, you've got a number of notches up and then you kind of finally get this next phase. But actually, if we believe, then this is what God offers us. And it's asking those questions, you know, do I need to think through actually that they're all there for me to grapple with? Doesn't be a case, I don't think the Bible teaches that kind of, you know, you only ever get one and then that's it, you're stuck with it, you know. Or, you know, the first one you engage with and the first one goes to you, that's it. Or unless you kind of, again, show a bit of expertise, then maybe God will give you other ones. Paul reminds us to eagerly desire the gifts that God has for us. We need to recognize also that I don't believe it's something that is just optional. Something that we can kind of go, well, if it's really my thing, or maybe it's for someone else, because they get a bit excited, and it's obviously something that is for those who are excited and maybe a little crazy. So we'll kind of leave it for them. But actually, it's something we all need to be engaging with. But also this challenge that it's not just for one day a year. But actually, it's something that God offers us every day, 365 or 366 days a year, depending. It's something that we need to be grappling with and going, actually, this is what God has given me so I can live for him, so I can serve him, so I can be all that he has created me to be. Rather than going, kind of, this is a lot of fun, isn't it? But we'll wait now till next year before we maybe think about it again, sing a few songs and get excited about it. So the Holy Spirit came in power, came upon them, and I believe comes upon us. And three thoughts as it does that. I think we see in this passage that it causes questions. If you read, you know, some of them thought they were drunk. That basically they'd obviously been at the wine and just got a bit out of control. But we see that people are caused to engage going, what's going on? What's taking place here? Because God is moving. And I wonder whether sometimes actually we need that. I need God to move in my life in such a way that actually people kind of go, what is going on there? And it's not because of what Ed's doing. There's something else taking place here. How is the power of God at work in our lives? Secondly, it enables our mission. You know, the power of God came on those disciples, those gathered in that place. And it enabled them to go out. If we, you know, flick back a few chapters to the Gospels, you read about Peter And if we've not forgotten, he's the one who denied knowing Jesus three times on the night that he was betrayed before he was crucified. He just said, no, I don't know him, you know. But yet this is the same guy who here is standing up in front of a massive crowd and actually going, no, this is what's going on. This is what the story is. And this is the impact it can have in your life. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that Pepys was able to do that. And I believe the power of the Holy Spirit can impact our lives in a similar way and enable our mission as we seek to live for Jesus, seek to share him. And the third thing really struck me is it impacts lives. You might kind of go, well, that's kind of obvious, but you read this passage both from the beginning few verses where this kind of this holy chaos descends on that place. It impacted those who gathered in that place. But yet you read to the end of the chapter, it tells us about there were about 3,000 added to their number that day. That's quite an impact. And we might kind of go, oh yeah, but that was for then, because those sorts of things happened in Bible times, didn't they? You know, that's how it went down back then. But I believe it's the same Holy Spirit, the same power of God that is longing to work in and through us. And not in any way wanting to make it about numbers, but believing it's about the impact in people's lives and actually saying, well, why not today? Why not here? Why aren't we ready for God to move? So have we done it already? I believe we haven't, because the power that we recognized here that came, that Pentecost, I believe should be impacting our lives personally, corporately, as a family, as a body, daily. Should be something that we're longing for. In many ways, you know, feeding into our series of Sold Out for the King, it should be something that we're craving from God. So when I get up in the morning, that I'm asking God for more of his power to fill me. That's the first thing that I do. Whereas, I'll be honest, the first thing I probably do is I check my phone. And I maybe look at the news and those. But actually, that's what I need to be doing. I need to be going, God, I want you to fill me with your power afresh today. I want you to, you know, impact lives through the steps that I take because of the power that you have sent upon me. John Stott wrote, as a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. Or to kind of change it up a little bit, a friend of mine, a Methodist minister, when talking about the Holy Spirit once, he referred to it being even more essential than underwear and socks. Which I really like, because that is kind of funny, but at the same time there's a real truth in that. That God has given us this power. He's given us these gifts. He's equipping us to live for him. But yet I wonder whether actually we take seriously the opportunity that is there. Whether I do. So that I can be all that he's created me, all he's called me, all he longs for me to be. Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that you will open our hearts so we may feel the breath and the play of your Spirit today. I pray that you will unclench our hands so that we may reach out to one another and touch and be healed. I pray that you will open our lips so that we may drink in the delight and wonder of life. I pray that you will unstop our ears to hear the agony in our humanity. I pray that you will open our eyes so that we may see Christ in friend and stranger. And I pray that you will breathe your Spirit into us and upon us, touching our lives with the life of Christ, so that we can be all that you have created us and called us to be. In your name.